I don't think it's going to take that long, but I've given myself that much time. I don't know how much time you're going to give me, but I'm only kidding you now. Well, I want to say it's a joy to be here at Calvary. It's always a joy to be here at Calvary. This is would be our church if we didn't have one in Dallas, but we just love Calvary, and when I say Calvary, that's you. I mean, what's the love about the building? The building is beautiful, but you know, the building is not Calvary. The building is where Calvary comes to, and we worship together, and you're just beautiful people. And I just appreciate Pastor Bob Nichols and Joy, you know, because they have stood and preached the word without compromise, just been so faithful to God. And you know, they've been through a lot of storms. They've been through a lot of storms. I'm not talking about the tornado that hit here several years ago and the other church. It tore it down and blew the church down and all of that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about that. But they've been through a lot of storms. And when the storms came, Pastor Bob just stayed on that rock and Joy. And they just kept serving God and kept loving God and kept doing the right thing. You know, the Bible says in Galatians, it said, you shall reap in due season if you faint not. Well, the Living Bible says, it says that you shall reap if you don't get tired of doing what's right. And so I think Pastor Bob has always tried to do the right thing, and I'm just grateful that he is my friend. And he was talking there a minute ago. I like to hang around people that's got something good to say. I don't like to be around people that doesn't have good things to say, because good things to say needs to be said. They don't need to just be thought about. They need to be said. And Pastor Bob says good things, and I'm telling you, he's a preacher of righteousness, and he always blesses me. Anytime that I ever hear him, he always preaches the word of God that blesses me. Amen? Do you get blessed? You know, I was speaking to a gentleman here at the church and just met him, and he said, you know, Pastor Don, I've been here for 39 years. Well, you know, that's a long time to be at one church, isn't it? But isn't that wonderful that people will stay, say, this is my church, this is where I'm going to stay. And you faithful people, I really appreciate you that's been faithful to the church, to the pastor. And I just pray that God just opens the windows of heaven and blesses you beyond. You know, there's always something new somewhere, but just because it's new doesn't mean it's better. Amen? You know, I say this, and I hope it comes across from my heart. But, you know, somebody came to our church, and they said, y'all don't have the smoke and this and that and this and that. I said, well, I'll go get the smoke if it makes the anointing stronger. See, I want the anointing. I want the anointing. I want the power of God. Now, I'm not critical. I don't care how much smoke you have in the church. I mean, it's all right with me and the lights. It's just okay for all of that. But, you know, I don't think the smoke and the lights makes the power of God be manifested any greater. I just believe we need to come back to the center, as we were singing a minute ago, and let Jesus be the center of our lives. Amen? And Jesus be the center of the church. And if Jesus is the center of our life, then when God begins to move and manifest himself, it doesn't matter if we have all the modern means that somebody else may have or not, because what we want is the word of God. Is that right? Yes. Now, I want to tell you, I love the word of God. Everybody say, I love the word of God. I love the word of God. I really do love the word of God. You know, I like to eat. I don't know if anybody else in the room or not likes to eat, but I really like to eat. And my wife is just absolutely an incredible cook. And I have two sons, and they're an incredible cooks as well. I mean, they just, I don't know, they got genes about cooking or something that they just put stuff in there, and you just look at it, and it looks wonderful, and it tastes good. And the two sons, you know, Or just like her. They go in a restaurant and taste something and go home and make it better. Don't have the recipe. Don't even have the recipe. So I like to eat. But you know what? I like to have the Word of God, because even though food tastes so good and it gives you energy, the Word of God is better than food. I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God. Brother Tom Autry, it is so good to see you, my brother. My goodness. Let's give Brother Tom Autry a big hallelujah. I love that man, and I like to hear him play and sing, and I'm telling you, you just keep it up, brother. You bless me. I know that. You bless me. Well, anyway, Pastor Bob, when he asked me to come over, I thought about, God, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be where you want me to be. I want to say what you want me to say. And I came because I just felt something rise up in my heart to be here. I've been real busy. I just came from Mexico, been in Mexico a week. And then I left Mexico and flew to St. Louis. And we were there with Joyce Meyer for several days. And then came home last night and had church this morning. Now here we are having church here. And so somebody told me the other day, they said, now you're getting older and you need to slow down. And I said, well, just mind your business. Don't be telling me I'm older. Don't be telling me I'm older. I might have aged a little bit and had some years that I've got behind me, but I'm not old. I don't even like that thought that somebody would have that you're old. I like to think about being new every morning. The mercies of God is new every morning. Amen. And so I just want you to know that I'm not tired. I'm not worn out. I'm here to bless you and minister to you. Amen. We're here to honor God and help people. We're here to honor God and help people. And Pastor Bob, when you put those numbers on the screen, or had them put up the numbers on the screen a few minutes ago, of 96,000 people, 7,000 people that's been out soul winning, and 96,000 people prayed that prayer of salvation. And as he said, we're not the judge of what happened. All they can say, as I've heard you say many times, they can't say, nobody ever told me. And so that's one of the important things, is people telling other people about the goodness of God. And I believe, you know, I really know we got social media. I've got some instruments up here, and the whole world today is just run almost by computers. But, you know, what we need to do, there's nothing like the one-on-one of you telling somebody, no matter how much social media we have, there's nothing like you looking at someone in the eyes and telling them about the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, you know, as I said, when Pastor Bob asked me to come over tonight, I really prayed and I said, God, what do you want me to talk about? Because there's so many things that I could talk about. But one of the things, as a pastor and as a minister of the gospel, one of the things that I think that people need to be reminded of from time to time is prayer. Even though we know about prayer and we know the scriptures about prayer, many times that's the thing that we sacrifice when we got responsibilities and obligations and things to do. But one of the things that I have learned in my years of serving the Lord is don't put prayer off, because the more you put prayer off, the more you need God. Folks, we're living in a time when you don't know what's out there. In my 72 and almost 73 years, I've never seen the world in the condition that it's in today. I mean, I just came from Mexico, and there's murderers there, one right after another, and just right down the street from one of the churches where I was preaching, been over 30-something murderers in just a short time. So we need prayer in our lives to be ready to face any challenge that comes before us, because there's always going to be a challenge. There'll be a challenge physically, a challenge in your marriage, a challenge in relationships. There's always something somewhere that's unscheduled that rises up. And you and I need the Word of God in our hearts and in our mouth, so that we're not reacting emotionally and not making emotional decisions, but we're making decisions based on the will and the Word of God that'll bring good results. Can you say amen? You know, all of us have to make decisions constantly. Constantly we have decisions in front of us. And then many times, you may have heard me make this statement before, many times there's people that makes decisions that affects us. And when their decision affects us, and it could be negatively the way their decision that they make and the way it affects us, so we still, even though we're not making a decision and someone else is, we need to have the rock under our feet. We need to have the rock under our feet. You know, I believe it was E.V. Hill that said, I may tremble on the rock sometimes, but the rock will never tremble. So I want you to know, prayer is one of the things that keeps us stable. It keeps us placed. Prayer is a communication. Prayer is something we get to do. It's an opportunity. Everybody say, prayer is an opportunity. And for me, it's a daily necessity. It's a daily necessity because, as I said, I have to make decisions every day. I have to make decisions. And when I make those decisions, I don't want to make emotional decisions. And I see many, many Christians that constantly make emotional decisions. You know, at work, someone may not like you. At work, somebody may do something that is detrimental to you or whatever. But you know what? If you have the Word of God in your heart and the Word of God in your mouth, you have the right attitude. Instead of reacting from a negative standpoint, the Word of God can come out of you, and God can give you the right wisdom and the right words to say and the right things to do at the right moment. And that's what I believe believers need in their hearts and their life, is to know what to do. I believe a lot of marriages would have been saved if they would have come to the altar and let God talk to them, but instead they're allowing their emotions to speak louder than the Word of God. Now listen, the Word of God must be always speaking to you louder and greater than your emotions. Because as I said, we're in a world today, you know, you even going to the theater today, you know, there's people that sometimes go to the theater and they got the guns and they start shooting people at the theater, shooting people at school, shooting people on the highway. I'm telling you, I want to be led by the Spirit of God in what I do. Everybody say, I want to be led by the Spirit of God. Come on, say that real good. You that may be watching at home or wherever, just say with your own mouth, I want to be led by the Spirit of God. And come on, let's say it with them. See, to me, it's really important for me in my decisions that I pray God to help me. Listen, this is really powerful what I'm about to say. God, help me to make the right decisions instead of praying and saying, God, bless my decisions. I want to say it again. God, help me make the right decision. Help me make the right decision rather than asking God to bless the decision that I already made. Now, I hope that He will if I've already made it, but if I ask Him first, it's much better when I ask Him and He directs me. Can you say amen? You know, Pastor Bob, there's times I don't know what to do. Anybody ever been there? That situations come up and you just say, I don't, you know. But one of the things the Lord told me, He said, if you'll study my word, if you'll put my word first in your life, I will help you to know what to do. You know, Psalms 25, verses 4 and 5, it says, show me. It says, teach me. And it says, guide me. So I'm continually looking to God's word for Him to show me, to teach me, and to guide me. So when I don't know what to do, instead of saying that, I have really learned something. Now, I want everybody to get this. When you don't know what to do, don't say that out of your mouth, I don't know what to do. Because the more you say, I don't know what to do, the more you block yourself into that place and where you can't find an answer. Or you might say, well, I'm confused. No, don't say I'm confused. There again, that's setting yourself up for the Holy Ghost can't get in, where the Word of God can't guide you. If there is confusion there, don't say it and give it more power, but say, Lord, you're showing me, you're helping me, I'm walking in faith, I love you, you're going to guide my footsteps, you're going to walk me through this. Amen? So when you don't know what to do, instead of saying, I don't know what to do, just say, Lord, you're helping me. You're showing me what to do. You're helping me with my decision. And see, that's why it's good to spend time in prayer and in the Word of God. Amen? I love the Word of God. Somebody said, you just said that. I'm going to say it again. I love the Word of God. Pastor Bob, I love the Word of God. As I said, my wife, my family, they're great cooks, and I love, and I can go to restaurants. I like to eat good food. I just came from Mexico, and man, did we have some food down there sometimes. I'm telling you, we had some food that just, I mean, it was so good. I had to grab my socks and my shoes. It was knocking my shoes and my socks off. It was so good. But you know what? It still wasn't as good as the Word of God. Nothing really compares to the Word of God and prayer. Now, I want to tell you something about prayer before I read some scripture here. You know, there's seasons that we all go through. Everybody say seasons. And you know, sometimes it's really easy to spend time in prayer. So I don't want anybody to think that I'm talking down or any way about your prayer life. All I'm trying to do is encourage you to want or desire to pray. And so your schedule is not like mine, and so I couldn't tell you to do it the way I do it. What I would tell you is to love God and desire for God to help you have that desire to talk to Him. I've been married to this lady for 53 years. 53 years. And you know what? One of the reasons why it's lasted for 53 years is we talk. We communicate. I don't talk at her, and I don't just tell her what I want. I talk to her. I listen. And she listens back. We communicate. See, some people, when they go to prayer, they go and they just start talking to God and they don't wait. And again, let me get back. We all have seasons when it's easy to pray and it's easy to enter into that time of prayer. And it just seems like, man, this is just so awesome. But then you go through another season and it seems like, I'll hear people say, it seems like I'm hitting a brick wall, or it seems like I can't feel anything, or it seems like my prayers just don't get to the ceiling. Well, I've been through that, but I don't entertain that kind of thinking. I don't allow those kind of words to come out of my mouth. I just know that there's demon spirits in our air. Everywhere we turn, there's demon spirits, and I know there's a war for your soul and for my soul. The Bible says that Satan, he goes to and fro throughout this whole earth. What is he doing? Seeking whom he may devour. And so one of the things that I have found that has really kept me strong over the years is discipline myself to pray when I don't feel like praying, when I don't feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and when I've got a lot of responsibility and I've got a lot of things to do, I just set that time aside and I go in and I just start praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, the devil doesn't like it, you know, when my mind is thinking I got to do this and I got to do that and I got responsibilities, and I just maybe lie down on the floor or sit in a chair, or I got a pillow in my closet where my wife got me, and I just sit back and it's got some arms on it, and I just sit there and I just start praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, the devil, he just walking hell. He just walking hell, wringing his hands and saying, there he goes again. I don't know what they're talking about. I've been bothering him and trying to get him emotionally upset. I've been trying to bog him down financially. I've been trying to throw all kinds of roadblocks. But he's sitting in there on that pillow just talking to God. And I can't do a thing about it. And I don't know what their conversation is about. You know, sometimes I get in prayer, I sound like a Chinese, I sound like a Japanese, I sound like a Taiwanese. It doesn't matter. But when I get in the Holy Ghost and I begin to pray, I don't care if it's low, I don't care if it's loud, because I'm talking to God. My brain doesn't know what's going on, but my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, is praying. And I know mountains are moving, I know demons are trembling, and I know good things are taking place because I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. See, my mind may be struggling with prayer. My mind may be struggling with situations. My mind may be pulling at me, but I just keep going right on. And then pretty soon, I can get down to my prayer list and just start praying down my prayer list. Now, I've got a prayer list, and sometimes, though, I never get to the list because the Holy Ghost takes over so strong that He prays my list better than I pray it. See, Romans 8 and 27 says that the Spirit knows the mind of the Spirit. He knows the mind of the Spirit. And so when we pray in the Holy Ghost, whether we get to our prayer list or not, we have prayed our prayer list because the Holy Ghost is praying what needs to be prayed. You know, for the past 3 months, it's been one of those times that it's just one of those times. It's like when you sit down, I sit down in my chair or on my pillow in my closet, you know. Some people call it a war room, you know. But when I get in my prayer closet and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, the last 3 months, it's been those, it's that season, like, whoa, goodness gracious, wow. I mean, it's like God's got a great big window open and it's just pouring down on me. And you know, sometimes in the last 3 months, I sit there and just, you know, had to have a whole box of Kleenex, you know, because, I mean, everything's pouring, you know, everything's just pouring. I'm not crying because I'm sad, but I'm crying because I'm in the Spirit, and I know something good is happening, and I know demon spirits are being rebuked from people. I know one thing, that God is using me to pull strongholds down, cast down those imaginations, cast down those thoughts, for our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God. We have the weapons of God's word. We have the weapon. Oh, calm down, Don. Just calm down here now. Calm down. See, we have the weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Mighty through God. So every demon force has to bow. Instead of you bowing to your circumstances, instead of you bowing to your environment, instead of you bowing to the things around you, they bow to you. They bow to the name of Jesus. They bow to the blood of Jesus Christ. They bow to the word of the living God. You say, well, what happens if that season passed? I'll still do the same thing. I'll still do the same thing. I'll pray in the Holy Ghost. You know, I was on an airplane going over in the Mideast, and there was a lot of different types of Mideastern people there. Some of them were Jews, and some of them were Arabs. And I watched the Jews with their books on that airplane, and they're going, and they didn't care nobody was looking. You said, what are you talking about? Well, when the Jews pray and they got their book, I mean, they got these motions that go through, and they're going and going. And you know, I'm on this plane and I'm watching. And then I watch the Arabs, and then they had their way of doing it. And the Christians, you know, sometimes we're afraid somebody might think we're crazy. The Jews and the Arabs don't really care when they pray. Because it's not about that person watching me anyway. It's between God and me. See, when I pray in church, I don't care whether you're listening or not when I pray, because I'm not praying to impress you. I'm praying for the Holy Ghost to come down and move and tear down the barriers and the strongholds and give us the victory that we can walk in faith. Is anybody in this room tonight? See, prayer is not an obligation. It's a privilege. It's an opportunity. And we should take advantage of this privilege to keep our relationship right. You know, Pastor Bob and I have been friends for a long time. But you know what? We talk. We communicate. He calls me up and he'll just preach to me. I get it sometimes before you do. He practices on me, I think. And I get to practice on him. See, I get to preach mine before I preach it to the congregation sometimes. But you know what? That's what draws me and attracts me to him, is because he speaks the word of God. I've got friends of 50 years and 45 years and on and on and on. What keeps those relationships? Communication, loving, forgiving, believing. Amen? And so, I want my relationship right with God. So I don't ever want to feel obligated to come to God and talk to him. And anytime that I come to God, I don't want to come to him just to ask him for something. The Bible says to come with prayer, come with thanksgiving and prayer. The Bible says enter into his courts with praise. Enter into his courts. Enter into his courts with praise. So sometimes when I start praying, I just, you know, some people say, well, you know, I don't really have the time to pray, but I pray in my car and do all this. Well, you know, I don't stop you from doing that. I do that too. But there's nothing like just saying, God, it's just you and me right now. It's just you and me. I'm going to talk to you. You know, the Bible says, Matthew 4:4. Let me just turn over there. I can quote this. But the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. And I've got a little note here on my Bible, and it says, bread won't feed man's soul, but obedience and keeping his word, that's where your soul gets fed. Bread feeds our body, but bread does not feed our soul, but keeping the word of God keeps your soul on track. See, the word of God and prayer will help you keep your word, will help keep you on track. You know, I'm not a singer. Sometimes I used to try till some, you know, at one time I thought, well, that's not something I'm supposed to be doing, you know. But this is what I'm supposed to be doing, is honoring God and helping people. Everybody say honoring God and helping people. See, that's what my whole 57 years has been about, is honoring God and helping people. And so you know how I do that? But just what I'm telling you is by praying in the Holy Ghost, praying for other people. You know, I met a minister Friday night that I hadn't seen in a little while. And him and his wife were making some changes in their ministry. And I said, you know, I've really been praying for you in these situations, but I said, I want you to know, even before I knew you were going through these situations, I've been praying for you every day for years. He looked at me and said, you've been praying for me? Why have you been doing that? I said, because I want to. See, I want to pray. I don't have to pray. I want to pray. Everybody say, I want to pray. See, friends want to communicate. Amen? And so Prayer helps me, just like when I don't understand something. Now, I know that it's common for us to say when we don't understand, I don't understand that. But I've learned, every now and then it might slip out, but I have learned not to say, I don't understand. What I say is, Lord, you're helping me to understand. Everybody say, Lord, you're helping me to understand. Come on, sit out. See, now let that be a guide so when something's going on and you don't know what to do, Lord, help me to understand. If you'll ask God to help you instead of saying it again, when you say words that are wrong, it locks you. It keeps you in that prison. It keeps you in that cage. And it keeps God's revelation from coming to you. See, one of the things that you probably heard me say from time to time, because I try to say it a lot, our revelation from God's word should be greater than our environment. Our revelation of who we are in Christ should be greater than our circumstances. See, if our revelation of who we are, but that only comes by continually looking in the Word and spending time with God. Now, I'm not telling you you have to do an hour a day or 2 hours a day or 3 hours a day. I'm only telling you, you need to find your place where you can do that. You know, one Sunday morning years ago, back in the 80s, I don't remember exactly which year it was, but back in the 80s, I went in my prayer closet before church. I got up at 4 o'clock that morning, and I was praying, and I prayed, and my wife came in the closet. She said, when are you going to get dressed for church? And I looked up, and I said, what time is it? She said, it's after 9. After 9? I've been there since 4 o'clock. I hadn't been asleep, Pastor Bob. No, I hadn't been asleep. And the Holy Ghost had just really talked to me. And that was one of those days that I had 2 boxes of Kleenex that was totally used. I hadn't been asleep, but I had prayed in the Spirit. Then I went to Seoul, Korea right after that, and I preached for Pastor Cho in Seoul, Korea. And he happened to be coming back to the United States the same time I was on the same flight I was. So as we were flying together, I told him, I said, Pastor Cho, I had this experience the other day before I came here. And I said, it was 4 o'clock in the morning. And I said, I was not asleep. I said, but it was like television screens. And I was seeing things. And I was hearing God's voice. And I would talk to God. And he would talk back to me. But I said, I was there from 4, and my wife came in at 9 and had to tell me to get up because it was like I was in another world. And he looked at me just so calm and nonchalant, like I was kind of, like I didn't know what I was doing or something. He said, well, you just prayed in the fourth dimension. He said, that's the way I pray all the time. He said, how do you think I pray hours? He said, I can't pray it in my flesh. He said, the Holy Ghost came on you and took you into a realm of the Spirit. Now, I'm not saying everybody can do this, but you know what? God will give you encounters. God will give you encounters that you've never had before. Can you imagine? Can you imagine when Saul was persecuting the church? The church was really praying. God somehow, open his eyes. God somehow, that the church is needs your help. The church needs a move of God. Pastor Bob's always talking about revival, and I love to talk about revival, but when I pray, I get stirred. See, prayer keeps you stirred. Amen? Everybody say revival. So when we pray, it stirs us up. It causes us to want to do something. Now, again, I'm not telling you when, and I'm not trying to give you words put in your mouth to pray. I'm just telling you, if you want to pray, you can find some time to pray. Amen? Everybody said, I love to pray. Now, I hadn't even got to my message yet, but one of the things that we need to look at Jesus, Because when Jesus prayed, Jesus got results from his prayer. Now, I've got a lot of scriptures, and I'm not going to go through them, but it shows where Jesus, before Jesus chose his disciples, the Bible says that he went out and he prayed all night. You know, when I was young, the church I was in, our pastor had my parents was one of the people that was designated to have all-night prayer meeting. I mean, we'd have all-night prayer meetings, and our neighbors sometimes, they just said, would call over there and said, can y'all get a little quieter? I'm serious. One time the police came to the door. And I remember my mother went to the door talking in tongues. Somebody said, oh, they were just one of those radical Pentecostals. No. No. They just was caught away in prayer. Maybe they didn't have to pray that loud. You know, I'm sure they didn't. But again, there was nothing wrong with what they did. But I remember the police, my mother went to the door, and she was praying in tongues, and he just got down on his knees right there at the door, and tears started streaming down his face. I'll tell you, folks, we can, you know what? It's amazing. In the United States of America, we can't pray in our schools. We can't do nothing in our schools about God. You know, when I was a kid, the government actually, or the school system, paid teachers to come in and teach the Bible. See, the young kids today don't know that, but when I went to school, we actually studied the Bible in school. We prayed every morning before class started. Every morning. And you know, I just came back from a former communist country just a few weeks ago in Moldova. It's a little country right between the Ukraine and Romania. And there's a gentleman there that I help support. And he just goes into schools constantly. And you know what he gets to do? He gets to preach in schools in a former communist country. They allow him to come in, stop classes, bring the kids in, and he gets up and preaches. And I got all kinds of pictures I can show you of hundreds of kids giving their life, coming out of their seat, coming down and giving their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just last week in Mexico, one of the pastors introduced me to somebody and said, you know what he does? I said, no. He said, he just goes from school to school, school to school, high schools, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in the schools, giving out Bibles and preaching the gospel, and there's no problems nowhere in the school system for them preaching and praying in the schools. America, it's against the law to pray in the schools. But what I'm believing God for, oh, y'all just going to have to hold me down here, but what I'm believing God for, that you'll start praying, that I'll start praying, our neighbors will start praying, somebody else will start praying, the senator will pray, the congressman will pray, the vice president will pray, the president will pray. Can you say amen? The chief police will pray, the sheriff will pray, everybody will start praying. So everywhere we go, people are praying, and there's so many praying, it's in the schools, the teachers, the principals are praying, and they can't do nothing about it because everybody's praying. Well, that made me feel good, whether it did you or not. See, I want the spirit of prayer to get on people. And we need to learn to pray. And as I said, when Jesus was going to choose his disciples. And you know, Pastor Bob, he chose a bad one. He chose one that was going to betray him. Wow. So you can't say he didn't hear from God. Maybe that's why he had to pray all night. Maybe that's why he had to pray all night. I don't know. But Jesus, the Bible said, he prayed all night long before he chose his disciples. And again, see, he was choosing one that was going to betray him. Now, folks, We're in a world of betrayal. I think betrayal is probably one of the big things that we see in the world today. families, relationships. I mean, it is beyond comprehension. So that's another reason why when somebody betrays us, we need to stay safe on that rock, safe in that arms of Jesus, because he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, but I'll go with you to the end of the world. Now, the disciples told Jesus in Luke chapter 11, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. See, they had seen him pray and get results. You know, he raised Lazarus from the dead. He opened the eyes of the blind. He healed the little woman that had an issue of blood. He opened Bartimaeus' eyes. He healed the lepers. He raised the dead. And the disciples saw Jesus get results from his prayer. And so they said, Lord, teach us to pray. So that's why I'm encouraging you. I want you to say, Lord, I want to pray. I don't want to pray because I want something. See, some people come and give God a little bit of love and they'll kiss him a little bit and then they'll say, Lord, I love you. Then they start, Lord, I need this, I want that, give me this, give me that. Well, you can't set him up. You can't set God up. He knows your heart. You know, my little granddaughter tried that, but one time, she's grown up now, but one time I remember she come in and she got in my lap and she hugged me and she kissed me. Said, I love you, Papa, I love you. And I just eaten it up. You know, hey, come on. Come on, just keep on loving me, girl. And then she said, okay, now, Papa, give me the $5. So I gave her the $5 and she was gone. She wanted the $5. She wasn't interested in hugging Papa, but she knew the hugging Papa was going to get her $5. See, she set me up. We can't set God up. See, prayer has to come from the heart. True prayer comes from the heart. See, we shouldn't try to have prayer as a religious exercise. I'm not even got to any scriptures that I've got here, but I'm quoting some, so I hope that's okay. See, prayer is not a religious exercise. Prayer is something that we really desire. Somebody contacted me the other day and they asked me to pray for someone, and they said, this person is going to go into an interview about a job, and this person really needs this job. Well, my first thoughts was, you know, I'll pray, but what if God's got something better? Now, listen to what I'm about to tell you. The person interviewed, and they didn't get the job, they gave it to somebody else. The person that didn't get the job got mad at God because they didn't get the job. Now, listen to me right now. When we come to God and we don't get what we want, does that give us a reason to get mad at God, pout at God, not talk to him anymore? The Bible said if you be willing, Isaiah 1 and 9, 19, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. There's been seasons, as I told you, that I've walked and it seems like nothing is moving, nothing is changing, nothing is happening. But I just keep praying, I keep confessing, I keep praying in the Holy Ghost. When I don't see anything moving, it's moving in the spirit world. It's moving in the spirit world, but my natural eyes and my emotions and minds can't see already what's happening in the spirit world. And so that's why we should not faint, because if we pray and release it to God, see, you won't always get what you want, but if you keep your heart right and you keep talking to God, he knows better about what you need than what you need, you know, yourself. Jeremiah 29. Hold on just a minute. Jeremiah 29:13. and you will seek me and find me. You will seek me and find me. Everybody say, if I seek him, you will find him. And then he said, when you search for me with all of your heart. See, I'm searching for God. I'd rather have the anointing and the presence of God in my life than do ministry. I love God more than I love ministry. Are you listening? See, some people love to minister. I love to minister. Some people love the crowds, but they don't like people. That's true. I had this person call me up not long ago, and they said, you know a lot of people around the world, and could you open some doors for me? You know I've got this teaching gift, and God just uses me to teach, and you know how good I can teach. Said, would you pray and just get me some doors open to go use my gift? Said, but I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to go in and out. I don't want to have anything to do with people. I couldn't get it. Pastor Bob said they didn't either. Can you believe someone would say that? I just want to come in the door. I want to stand up and use my gift and go away. God's not impressed with your gift. He's moved by your character. See, your character is more important to God than your gifts. I don't care anything about the gifts if they're not motivated by the power of God, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. See, I want to be motivated by God to do everything that I'm doing and helping people. This way, the attention's not on me, and I'm not trying to attract someone to like me. I'm just going to preach the Word of God. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So this is about lifting up Jesus. And then Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me, and I will answer you. Call to me, and I will answer you. Now, I'm not finished reading this. And show you great and mighty things. And then the last part of that verse. The last part of that. Somebody tell me what the last part says. Which you do not know. Call on me. And then what did he say? I will answer you. Somebody said, well, I prayed, nothing happened. I prayed about that job and I didn't get it. I mean, this person was mad at God. This was our dream job. I mean, this was their dream job. Said, did you ever stop to think God may have something better? Yes. Well, what could be better? I said, I don't know, but God knows. And this lady came to me, and I was telling her, I said, you know, God can promote you. She said, oh, Pastor, God can promote me. Where I work, I'm at the top of the ladder. They don't have any place for me to go to. I'm just at the end. And I work for the government. So for me to get a position higher, a raise, I said, okay, you're stuck. You're stuck. You're just going to live there and get your watch when you retire, huh? She said, well, I don't even know how to get a watch. I said, so you're going to stay stuck. You're going to believe the government bigger than you're going to believe the Word of God. The Scripture says, call on me and I'll answer and show you great and mighty things, which you don't know. See, remember, I said a few minutes ago, there's things that I don't know and things that I don't know what to do, but I don't say that because it says, I'll show you when you don't know. If you'll call on me, I'll show you when you don't know. So 2 or 3 weeks later, she and I were having a conversation and she brought it up again. And I said, why do you keep bringing this up? You're stuck. You want to stay there. You said you can't get no better a job and no increase, and you're at the end. Folks, you don't have to be at the end of anything. When we have the Holy Ghost and we know our Father God, greater is He that's within us than he that's within the world. I want to say it again. Greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. Let's put it this way. Greater is he that, put your hand on your chest. Greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. Amen? Greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. Well, I don't know what happened, but, you know, she wouldn't leave it alone. So the third time she came, I said, why do you keep talking about this? She said, well, you keep preaching that we can go beyond. Well, you just keep preaching that God's got something bigger and better for us. And she said, I don't know what it is. I said, well, quit saying that. I said, number one, you're blocking the opportunity for God to show you what it is. So one day she came in and she said, I've really been praying about this, Pastor. Did you hear what I said? I've really been praying about this, Pastor. And God has shown me that I hadn't been listening and believing the word. That I've been hearing the words you're saying, but I hadn't believed it for me. She said, I know it was in the Bible, but I hadn't believed it for me. Folks, I believe the Bible. Put your hand on your chest and I believe the Bible is for me. Say, I believe the Word of God is for me. Well, she said, I've been praying about this. And I said, oh, you have? She said, yes. I said, well, you know what? Let God open your heart. I said, God can move things around. God can move things around and give you a promotion in a way that you don't even know. She said, but that's the thing. I don't see. I said, spit that out of your mouth. Number one, don't think it. Number two, don't say it. Don't everybody say, I'm not going to think it. And I won't say it. See, if it's not criteria for thought, it's not criteria for talk. If it's not criteria for thought, it's not criteria for talk. Well, you know what? God started dealing with her, and she come praying. One time she came down, and she was just weeping and crying. She said, Pastor, God has really been dealing with me. And she said, I've just been ministering to people at the job and telling them how good God is. I said, oh, really? She said, yeah, I've been there all these years. And she said, I really hadn't given my testimony. She said, but all of this has really just stirred me up to be a witness. So one day she got called in and they said, for months, we've been trying to figure out what to do here in this department. And we know you've been leading it and you're the head of it. And we like what you do and we like the way you handle people. But we're going through a major transformation here. And we're going to divide this and then it's going to cause a bigger flow through of people and productivity. And we were wondering if you would be interested in that position. It's much more responsibility than you have, because you won't be over this one, you'll be over both departments. And that means an increase, a big increase in salary. Would you be interested? She said, would I be interested? She said, my pastors told me this would happen. When he first told me, I didn't. They said, what? Your pastor? What's your pastor got to do? He said, he told me that I wasn't at the end. See, that's what prayer will do. When you are at your end, when you're at your end, the Holy Spirit will stand up. And he will take you another step. You know, I was in Mexico last week, and our friend, Pastor Bobby Crow, was riding down the road in his truck a couple of months ago. And gangsters and murderers pulled up beside him with machine guns and told him to pull his truck over. He said, Pastor Don, he said, about 30 minutes before, I had this strong urge just to pray in the Holy Ghost. He said, I was just praying in the Holy Ghost, just praying in the Holy Ghost and praying in the Holy Ghost. And he said, I looked up and these gangsters were beside me with machine guns telling me to pull my truck over. And you know, you have to know Bobby Crow. I mean, he just rammed over their truck. And so they shot his tires out. So he had to pull over. And he's sitting on the side of the road and he said, I was just praying in the Holy Ghost. I was just praying in the Holy Ghost. And then he said, when they got out of the truck, they took the butt of their guns and tried to break out the window. And he said, the window wouldn't break. He said, you know a window will break when you hit it with a gun like that. But he said, the window wouldn't break. But what did he do? 30 minutes before, he was praying in the Holy Ghost. This urge came up inside of him to pray in the Holy Ghost. So this urge came up to pray in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I'm riding down the road. Sometimes I'm in the office. I mean, I could be downtown. I could be in a shopping center, in a store. Sometimes I feel that urge, and I'll just start praying in the Holy Ghost. And God will say, see that person right there? Give them some money. See that person right there? Witness to them. See, the Holy Ghost, if you pray, you'll learn to get sensitive to hear His voice. My sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. And see, that's what I pray. God, I want to honor Your voice. I want to hear Your voice. I want to recognize Your voice. Because, and just like Bobby Crow, he prayed in the Holy Ghost. And here he found himself sitting on the side of the road with his tire shot out. His door's locked. So finally they put the machine gun on him, told him to open the door. So he opened the door, and they jerked him out of the truck. And one put a gun to his head and said, get in our truck. And he looked at that man, and he's speaking Spanish. And he looked at him in Spanish, and he said, no, in Jesus' name, I won't get in your truck. He said, the guy got scared and ran off. He said, a bigger guy came up, did the same thing, put a gun to my head, and grabbed me with the other. But he said, all at once, he said, the Holy Ghost froze me. He said, Don, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost froze me, and I stood. And he tried to move me. He said, I didn't bend, I didn't bow, I didn't burn, I didn't move. He said, the Holy Ghost froze me, and he was trying to drag me and move me and get me in the truck. And he said, finally my arm come loose, and I looked at him and said, no, in Jesus' name, I won't get in your truck. And he said, they all got in the truck and left, and they had machine guns, left me standing on the side of the road. Call on me, and I will answer you. Call on me, and I will answer. Call on me, and I will answer. The Holy Ghost is in this room tonight. The Holy Ghost is in this room tonight. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, Hebrews 4 and 16, let us therefore come boldly, or come with confidence, into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. I love this scripture. Here it says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. And knows all things. If a heart does not condemn us, then we have confidence towards God. See, when you come to Him, and if you have condemnation in your heart, just get it out. He's merciful. He's loving. He's forgiving. Don't let your past become a barrier between you and God. Don't let your mistake or your sin or your wrong be a divider between you and God. Get rid of it. God is greater than your heart. Then we go over to another one. I just love reading this one. It says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 and 15, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. See, we come in with confidence. We ask in the will of God. And what we pray in the will of God, we know that he answers us. Pastor Bob, I just looked in my Bible here, and I got a little note on the back, and I just noticed what I used for my marker. Some of you at home, you might be able to not to say this, but Pastor Bob had a conference here one time, and the theme was "Don't Quit," and he gave us all of these. I don't know. This is about the only one I got left. I need him to get him to print some more. I need to get to know my print thing and print a bunch. This is good. Don't quit. Well, see, that's what I've learned in prayer. Don't quit. May not happen today. May not happen tomorrow. But don't quit. Everybody say, I love to pray. Everybody say, I love to pray. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Now, I didn't ever get to my message. Got 2 hours left. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm really wrapping up here, and so I want you to know I'm not going to try to preach more. But I want to just draw you, if I can, into the presence of God. I'd rather be in the presence of God than anything I've ever done in life. Nothing in life had I ever done that keeps me sound and keeps me like the presence of the Lord. Now, again, I want to say for the third time, I'm not telling you how much time to spend in prayer. I never did anything but read books by Smith Wigglesworth. And I don't really know that much about him except what is handed down through books or people that knew him and has said stuff. But one of the things they said about Smith Wigglesworth, that he didn't pray a long time, but he didn't go long without praying. See, if you can't pray a long time, don't go long without praying. Well, what am I going to pray about? Oh, my friends, this world needs Jesus. Yes. Pray that laborers will be sent into the harvest field like your church. Yes. Pastor Bob, this church. What was it? 7,000. Can you put the numbers up there real quick? Is that possible? Just put those numbers up there, how many laborers have gone out. Is that possible to do that too while I'm standing here? But pray, Matthew 9:33. This week, soul winners was 33 laborers went into the harvest field. 30, everybody say 33 laborers. 33 laborers went into the harvest. And look, there was 350 harvested. 350 or 305 was harvested because of the laborers went into the field. So there was a harvest of 305 this week. And then since September of 2012, 7,676 laborers have gone into the field. 7,676 laborers have gone into the field, and then there has been a harvest from those laborers. Look at the numbers. Look the difference. Look at the difference. 7,000 laborers harvested 90,592. 90,592. Just think if we would have doubled and we'd have had 15,000. If we'd have had 15,000, it would have been over 181,000 harvested. So if we just keep doubling the laborers, then we keep multiplying the harvest. Oh, so I don't know what to pray for. Pray for laborers to be sent into the field. You know, a few weeks ago, I was in the World Ministry Conference over in Dallas, and Dwight Thompson was speaking that night. So I was the host that night, and whatever they call it. And I introduced Dwight, and he came, and he spoke, and he ministered. And when he got through, you know, I don't ever like to minister or take someone, try to outdo someone, but the Holy Ghost said, call everybody to the front. And he gave me a specific particular assignment after Dwight had finished, because Dwight's message that night was just absolutely one to just knock the ball out of the park. And so when he got through, I got up and I said, Dwight, I don't want to interfere with anything you've said or done, but I feel that the service is not complete yet. And so I give this call. And people come running and they were weeping and weeping and weeping. This is over in Dallas. I don't know, a couple of hundred people came down, maybe three, I don't remember. And they were just weeping and crying. And we've got a granddaughter that we're believing God to interfere in her life and change her direction. And so I started talking about our granddaughter and how that we're believing for change. And as I begin to speak and minister, all at once Dwight, he gets up and he said, Brother Don, can I interrupt you now? And he asked me our granddaughter's name and he said, here's what we need to do. And I want to close with this thought because I believe this is something God wants us to do. He said, Brother Don, he said, I believe what you and Sharon need to do is start taking authority over the bad influences in her life and praying that those bad influences will want nothing more to do with her and that they'll start breaking off of her. And then you start praying that the right people will be connected to her that'll bring her to Jesus. Well, you know, he didn't tell me anything that I didn't know, but at the same time, it was good to hear. Then he said this, and this is what we did. He said, we didn't do it exactly like he said. We did it in our own fashion. He said, stop and get you a Coca-Cola or something and a candle or something and go have a party for their salvation. Well, we didn't do that, but I'll tell you, we got together and we got us some grape juice and we got us some crackers and we got the Word of God down and we begin to pray and we begin to pray in the Holy Ghost over our granddaughter and we begin to rebuke all of those demon spirits that's in those people that she began to hang around and that was influencing her the wrong way. And you know what? Little by little, they're dropping off. They're dropping off. She's coming around more than she did. And, you know, and my wife will say, you hungry? You want something to eat? Oh, yeah, I'll stay and eat, you know. Little by little, the influences are changing, folks. And you know what? We're saying the right things. I just told you that she has been around the wrong people, but we're saying the right things about her. And instead of talking about what she's done, or maybe she's presently involved in, instead of talking about that, we're talking about how she's changing. We're talking about how people is being sent. You may be one of the laborers, who knows, that goes to our granddaughter. I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. We're not giving up. We're not quitting. And we're not backing down. And the Holy Ghost is in this room. Amen? And if you've got some loved ones, If you've got some loved ones that's being influenced the wrong way and they're not walking where they should be walking and doing what they need to do, I want you to come down here and stand, and we're going to get in agreement and we're going to pray over those loved ones. Folks, this is harvest time. This is harvest time. Everybody say it's harvest time. I hope you got something out of this tonight. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, how many of y'all remember who Bobby Crowe is? How many of you remember who Bobby Crowe is? I asked him, I might have said it during the story. I said, "Were you afraid?" He said, "I didn't have time to be afraid." So you don't know what you're going to face tomorrow. But if you know who you're face to face with, it doesn't matter who or what you'll face tomorrow, because you're already face to face with the right person. And when you're face to face with the right person, whatever happens. Now, that's the same thing about our loved ones. Whoever your loved ones may be, could be a husband, could be a wife, could be a son or a daughter, could be a niece, nephew, whoever you're standing for, I don't know. But you know what? I'm just fed up with my loved ones listening to the wrong voice. And again, I'm not saying this other than with a right heart. I've sown the seed in my children and in my grandchildren. They know what's right. They know what's right. And this is how we're going to change the world, folks. You're world changers. Everybody say, "I'm a world changer." You say, "Well, I'll be just good if I can get my car started." Now you're bigger than a car starter. You're a world changer. Thank you for loving kids. Thank you for... they're people. They're just little people. And the seed that you're putting in them little people, you got my attention. You got my attention more than you ever know. I mean, I pray for y'all. Sometimes when I'm praying for Calvary and things here, said, "I don't know, remember your name, but Lord, those people that minister to the children there at Calvary, just let the anointing flow on them and bless them and meet all of their needs." There's a Christian school over here. I don't know. There's a Christian school over here, close to 300 students over there or more. The goodness of God is spoken in those lives every day. The goodness of God is spoken into their lives every day. Folks, there's something big that's happening in Calvary. You say, "I've been hearing that for years." Well, you're going to hear it for years more till Jesus comes. I mean, there's a harvest coming in. I mean, there's laborers going out. And remember, the harvest just gets bigger and bigger. Let me see if I can pull this up real quick. I can't show you. It's too small. I need to be hooked up to that. But I was down by Bobby Crowe's the other day in his office, and he gave me a little sorghum seed. It's so small. He said, "See that, Don?" He said, "I went out on the sorghum fields," and he said, "This is a little seed." And then he picked up the bush, the sorghum bush, and it had thousands of those on it. One produced thousands. And I took a picture of it, and I'm going to use it. I'm not going to tell everybody I got it from Bobby Crowe. No, I'm just kidding. You're going to be a harvester. You're going to be a laborer that's going to reap harvest. You're going to reap harvest for your loved ones. And I hope my message on prayer was enlightening to you, in a sense that you want to just spend time with God. Maybe you get a break at work and just go in the bathroom stall and just quietly go, somebody say, what's that going over there in that bathroom stall? I don't know, but somebody's over there praying in a foreign language. Oh, something is going on in the spirit world right now. I mean, the power of the Holy Ghost is in this room right now. Your loved ones, there is a breakthrough tonight. I sense in the spirit the anointing of God is destroying the yokes around your loved ones. Father, as we are standing in this room right now, you see every loved one that's represented, whether it's one or several from the individual that's standing, God. Your word we preach tonight, God, John 4:4, greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. That loved one that has walked away or that is in darkness today, somehow, God, somehow we bring them to you that those influences will be broken. Those influences, those wrong influences that directs them and that entices them to follow those wrong influences, we pray, Holy Spirit, tonight that somehow they'll begin to break. God, the these influences, these people will be disinterested, no longer communicate, no longer work together, no longer get along, but somehow those influences will be broken, and Lord, you'll send one to replace them, and when you send them to replace them, when you send that replacement, it's a light, it's someone that's filled with the joy, the love, and the peace, and the power, and the anointing of the Holy Ghost that begins to love and witness and begins to influence them in the right way. Begins to influence them. I'm telling you, the anointing of God is in this room. The anointing of God's in your room. I release the anointing to your loved one. I release the anointing of God to your loved one. I release the anointing of God to your loved one. Come on, right now. Let's just start seeing them change. Just close your eyes. See and imagine. Just look at your loved one right now by faith in your own vision and begin to see them turning away from the drugs, the alcohol, the wrong sources, the wrong influences. See it in Jesus' name. No longer are they bound. No longer are they captivated by that wrong influence. But it's changing. It's breaking. It's breaking. Come on, help me out. We're moving mountains tonight. Demon powers are coming down. Our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty, mighty through God. We're pulling down the strongholds over your loved ones. Sure, they have a will. But we're just believing God that their will is changed because the people they've looked at, the people they've been enticed by, the people that has influenced them, no longer is that relationship going to stand. Come on, let's intercede right now. Lord, as laborers have been sent from this field, as laborers have been sent from this church, as laborers, over 7,000 laborers has been sent into the harvest field. God, now some laborer is coming into their loved one. A laborer is going to their loved one. We release it now. In the name of Jesus. We release it now. Come on. God's not finished yet. I've been trying to close, but the Holy Ghost is stirring. The Holy Ghost is, you got to see it. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for changing their granddaughter, for changing their grandson, for changing their daughter, for changing their son, changing that brother, that sister, that husband, that wife, that niece, that nephew. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Holy Ghost. Tonight, Lord, tonight we write this down. Tonight we write it down. We write the vision. Our loved ones are not walking in darkness and with wrong influences, but they're coming into the house of God to worship you and to worship you in spirit and in truth. Our loved ones are coming into the house of God and worshiping you in spirit and in truth. I'm telling you, I see it. I see it. I see us running in. I see us running in.